Mother and the Three Dogs. Happy birthday to me. I'm 73 today. This is Liza Loop, and it's July 28th, 2018. I've been listening to Daniel Siegel's book, Mindsight, for the last several days. In it, he talks about the adult attachment interview, or AII. Last night, I looked up the AII on the internet and downloaded the 18 or so questions that Siegel uses to begin building a profile of a child's experiences so that he can better understand how their pattern of relationships with other people have developed. After collecting information about the child's relationship with each parent and siblings, Siegel asks if there are any other potentially traumatic experiences in the child's life. Pondering this, I woke up thinking about the three dogs that I lived with as a child. The first was a bloodhound named Liza. I'm sure it's no coincidence that when I went to college, I changed my name from Lizzie to Liza. I'm not sure when Liza joined our household. I suspect I was under a year old. I have no visual memories of her. But I do remember a flash of fear I felt when looking at a picture of a bloodhound when I was about 50. What I do have is my mother's story about Liza's fate. One day, when I was probably 2.5 or 3, the dog was lying in the sun at one end of our huge living room. I walked up to her and stepped on her long ears by mistake. She growled. I backed up all the way across the room. According to my mother, the dog waited until I was at the other side of the room, then got up, walked slowly across the room, and bit me in the face. I have no memory of this, and I have no scars, but I do have the repeated telling of the story of what happened next. My parents contacted the breeder to find out what to do about the dog, and they said they did not want to have a dog of theirs who bit children. So the dog was sent back to the breeder and killed. They probably told me that the dog was put to sleep. But by the time I was 5, I knew that the dog had been killed. I think I internalized very early on the message that you better behave yourself around these people or you won't survive. We had another big dog who was the same age as I am. We must have gotten him as a puppy, but I have no early memories of him either. He was a bouncy, probably 50-pound Airedale Terrier, and we were good friends. Most of my memories of Pepper are located in the house that we moved to when I was 4. Pepper slept at the foot of my mother's bed, and I slept in the bedroom next door to hers. I was afraid of the dark, so I had a nightlight, but I still used to wake up afraid and want to climb into my mother's bed for comfort. I would climb out of my bed, open the door between my room and my mother's outer bedroom, and creep through the darkness to the little antechamber that she slept in. Pepper was her guardian, waiting at the doorway to her inner sanctum. Although we played happily during the day, if I tried to approach my mother's bed at night, he growled. I can remember my tremulous voice calling, "Pepper, Pepper, Pepper," to try to get him to let me in. Eventually, my mother would wake up, and she would say, "Pepper." Then I could sneak by him and crawl under the covers with my mother. I can remember snuggling against her and feeling somewhat comforted, but I don't remember her saying much to me or hugging me or doing anything active to comfort me. Basically, I was ashamed of being afraid of the dark. And she was a pretty heavy drinker, so thinking about it now, I realize she was probably sleeping it off. I wasn't basically afraid of Pepper, but I certainly respected him and his abilities. I had seen him in dogfights, and I knew that he could kill me easily if he decided that was the thing to do. When he growled, I wasn't about to challenge him. He was a lot bigger than I was. I don't know how old I was when I stopped being afraid of the dark and wanting to climb into my mother's bed, but we moved when I was 13. Pepper moved with us, but by then he was old and arthritic, and we decided by the time he was 14 to put him out of his misery as well. This time I was involved in the decision, and what happened to him wasn't a mystery. A few months later, we decided to get a puppy, a wire-haired terrier, sort of a small version of Pepper, who had three black spots on his side. We named him Triplicate Trouble and called him Trippy for short. These were the days when families let their dogs roam the neighborhood free, and Trippy, like his predecessor, developed a penchant for chasing cars. Sometime after I was 16 and we had moved to another house, my mother decided she was going to teach Trippy not to chase cars. "I won't have a dog who doesn't come when he's called," my mother used to say. So she got in the car and drove slowly out the driveway. Trippy, of course, followed. She would stop every few hundred feet and open the door and yell, "Trippy, go home!" He, of course, would stop and try and get into the car, but he didn't go home. She got back in the car and continued slowly down the street, making sure that he could keep up with her. After about an hour, my mother returned, the dog in the car and the pads of his feet bleeding. She was furious that her training strategy had failed. The dog, of course, although injured, was firmly reinforced that if he didn't give up, he would eventually be allowed into the car. I was disgusted, horrified. I worked with horses daily and was well schooled in techniques of behaviorism. I knew she knew them too, because we'd had long debates about how to reinforce an animal. I still don't understand how she could have acted with such ignorance and cruelty. 2 years later, I left both her and the dog and went off to college. 3 years after that, I moved to California and only returned home to Massachusetts for brief visits. One day, I got a very sad phone call from my mother. Trippy, who had never learned to behave, had to be sedated in order to be groomed, which was accomplished for wire-haired terriers by pulling out his fur, not clipping it. Apparently, the groomers misjudged the dosage, and he died there. My mother never got another dog. Although I don't usually think of these three dog stories as traumatic, it may be that I still have some integration to do in line with the mindset attachment theory process. My mother, from my earliest recollection, used to say, jokingly, "What I need is more dogs and more children." We kids and the dogs were the same size, and each of us was expected to behave. I knew what happened to the dogs if they didn't behave. I tried desperately as a child to be a good girl. I never seemed to succeed in pleasing my parents. They always seemed to appraise my looks and my behavior the way you would a dog or a horse at a show. Each of my brothers was sent to boarding school starting in seventh grade. Although they came home periodically, I think in the back of my mind, I was always aware that my parents could and might send me away to be put to sleep. When I changed my name to Liza at age 18, I think I was vaguely aware that it was a protest saying, "I won't let that happen to me."